It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, August 4th, 2022. On today's ship schedule, we have 5 inbounders, we have 9 outbounders, and we have 4 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. In our marine weather forecast, we've got west winds, 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 knots in the afternoon, wind waves from the west, 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, northwest swells 4 feet at 9 seconds, and expect patchy drizzle in the morning. And today we're going to talk more about the situation with the sunken old ferry, the Tourist II, on the waterfront, and what efforts are being made to deal with that. But first, to look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We've got inbound this morning early. We had the Resolve Pioneer arriving from Alaska, headed for the Swan Island Shipyard in Portland. She is actually a pollution response vessel, and she passed by Astoria inbound at about 7 a.m., probably be in Portland at the shipyard there about 1 p.m. So she probably is coming in for some kind of repairs or maintenance. The Kaiman Galaxy is a petroleum tanker arriving from Richmond, headed for the Port of Vancouver. Refined petroleum there, passing Astoria around 11 a.m. She'll be in Vancouver by 5 p.m. The container ship, the SM Busan, is arriving from Seattle, headed for the Port of Portland. She'll pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. and be in Portland by about 7:30 p.m. The Plumeria Leader is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Portland. She's another container ship. She will pass Astoria around 7:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland at about 1:30 a.m. on Friday. And the West Virginia is another petroleum tanker arriving from offshore, headed for Portland. Passing Astoria around midnight, we might see her in the Portland area around 6 a.m. In our outbounders, we have the Argent Iris leaving Vancouver, refined petroleum there, leaving around 2 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 8 a.m. The TS Echo is leaving Portland from the Port of Portland with potash on board, leaving around 3 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. And the Oyster Bay is leaving Portland with soda ash on board around 3 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. And if you'd like to see the rest of the Columbia River ship schedule for the day, you'll find it on my website at shipreport.net, along with a podcast of this program and many others. Well, there's been a lot of discussion on social media this week about the sunken old ferry, the Tourist Number 2, that's been resting on her side in the water, resting on the bottom, off the city's waterfront near 6th Street in Astoria. The wooden boat, more than 100 years old, used to haul passengers and cars across the Columbia from Astoria to Megler on the Washington side of the river before the Astoria-Megler Bridge opened in the mid-1960s. The boat ended up here years ago in Astoria after many years, after the current owner brought her down from Puget Sound to Astoria with the intention of raising funds through a local nonprofit to restore the ferry and use her as a tourist attraction or an event venue. That effort didn't work out, and now she's sunk and attracting a lot of understandable attention. So a lot of speculation about what's next for that old boat and some anger about why she was allowed to sit there to begin with. So I wanted to share some information from a Facebook post from Astoria's Mayor Bruce Jones about what steps are currently being taken to handle the situation, which involves fuel leaking into the river from the boat. So currently, the National Pollution Funds Center has contracted with Global Diving and Salvage for the immediate response to the leaking fuel. A little explanation here. The National Pollution Funds Center is a sub-agency of the U.S. Coast Guard, and they can provide some funding for spill cleanup. Funding comes from the 1990 Oil Pollution Act, which was developed to help address a wide range of issues associated with preventing, responding to, and paying for oil pollution cleanup. So why is this happening? Well, according to the mayor's post, the uninsured owner of the old ferry is unable to fulfill his responsibility to remove the hazard created by his vessel. So about Global Diving and Salvage, they're a salvage company based in Seattle that has resources around the Pacific Northwest. Salvage, remember, is the recovery of vessels in trouble. Global's divers determined that the ferry is too unstable as it currently sits to pump out the tanks, which contain an undetermined quantity of diesel fuel. Divers have capped and plugged all the fuel vents they could access. So their folks have already assessed the boat and are taking steps from there. Global subcontracted with a spill response firm called U.S. Ecology to place booms on the surface of the water to contain the spill and absorbent material to recover as much fuel as possible to soak it up. The U.S. Coast Guard incident commander has directed U.S. Ecology to replace that absorbent material and reposition the boom this week, but choppy conditions may be contributing to fuel escaping from the boom that's in place now. Global also brought a barge and crane earlier this week to the site of the ferry, but were unable to get close enough to gain leverage to lift the boat because of numerous pilings near it. The incident commander's plan is for Global to return and remove or cut enough pilings away to get close enough to the wreck to place straps around it and lift and partially refloat the boat. Then they can pump out the old fuel and will begin also the removal of hydraulic fluid, engine oil, and other pollutants. So you can see that there are a number of toxic fluids on any boat with an engine that can become an issue in a situation like this. But there are limits to what these resources can do about this situation. The boat is a privately owned vessel, and the legal responsibility lies with its owner. If it were a commercial vessel like a ship, there are considerable resources and plans that would kick in to assist in this type of situation to mitigate the damage. So once the National Pollution Fund Center does its work, they are really not authorized to do anything more, so it's unclear whether there are any resources in place to get the boat out of there just yet. So it's conceivable that once the fuel is removed, they could have to leave the boat where it is. And with our extremely dynamic current situation on the waterfront, it won't be long before the forces of water start breaking that ferry apart, causing hazards in the river, to nearby structures, and in the navigation channel for passing vessels. So Mayor Jones says he's contacted both the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality and the Department of State Lands to request action to remove the vessel after the immediate pollution threat is dealt with. Those agencies have jurisdiction because waterways and lands just offshore in the river are regulated by the state of Oregon. As far as the legality of having that boat there, which I had some questions about, since the boat is not in a recognized marina area, nor is it insured as a marina would require it to be. I did find this information during my research for this show. On the Oregon Department of State Lands website, it says this about the use of waterways and riverbanks. According to a 2005 Oregon Attorney General opinion, the public is allowed to use the surface of the waterway for any legal activity, unless the waterway isn't wide, deep, or long enough for a boat to pass along it. The Columbia there is plenty wide and deep. So if tying up a boat along the waterfront anywhere you feel like it is not considered illegal in Oregon, then the owner may have been well within his rights to leave the boat there, as long as it was floating, that is. So that's all I know about the legality of that, and I may not have a complete picture. I'm just sharing what I found so far. I'm sure more information will arise about this situation as it progresses, and I'll share what I learn. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.